Happy Friday night. This is Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550 KDCO, FM 94.1 Denver, FM 96.9 in Boulder. I am Joel Cantalamessa, your host tonight. We have got a great show for you. We'll talk all about the border war. We'll talk about the upcoming game against San Jose State, which is the Mountain Division lead on the line. And in the second segment, we'll bring in Interim Athletic Director John Morris and Kyle Bell from Ed Bozar Chevrolet, former Ram running back star, will join us for the final segment to talk about all things CSU. Let's go back first to talk about the border war and what a great day that was in Fort Collins. The game was sold out for the second straight time. It's been years since that's happened. Picture-perfect weather, and then you had a game where CSU probably put together its best first half. Well, it's right up there with Nevada, but played an outstanding game offensively, let Wyoming a little bit back into the game late, but that game really showed the discrepancy in talent level based on where CSU is compared to Wyoming is in their rebuilding process. CSU's got a few years ahead of Wyoming, and that's pretty evident. Wyoming kind of hung tight. They took CSU's punches and made a comeback late, which is a good sign for Wyoming that they have not quit. You know, they got a first-year head coach there, and they did not fade, but we'll talk about the bit of a meltdown that CSU's second-string defense had as we go along here in this first segment. You look at the what I like to call home run hitters on CSU's team. They have got several now. When you look back just as little as 3 years ago, prior to Jim McElwain's arrival, and even in that first year, the brand of football that CSU played was, you could say it was boring, and there weren't a lot of stars. There weren't a lot of big time playmakers. There wasn't a lot of speed and athleticism. Now you're starting to see, and what's exciting about it is that all these guys are younger guys. You're starting to see that there is an influx in talent, speed, athleticism. And it was interesting to hear on the broadcast, the telecast, the commentators said numerous times what a difference this CSU team has compared to previous years, and what more speed. They almost called it men against boys when they compared Wyoming and CSU, because CSU just had so many explosive plays in that game. You know, Exhibit A is Rashard Higgins. The guy blew up again, 150-plus yards, another couple touchdowns. He leads the nation in receiving touchdowns and yardage. He took a couple hitches and went the distance. He makes one move, makes one guy miss, and then breaks away for a long touchdown run. They've got a good stable of running backs. And you look at, and even the secondary, the role receivers like Joe Hansley caught a long touchdown pass. So this team has just got a lot of explosive ability, and they've got even Deontay Gaines on kick returns, breaking away, and giving the team, the offense, good field position. And then leading the way, you've got a great senior who's just playing fantastic football. He's breaking all sorts of records. Garrett Grayson is really seeing the field well. The game has slowed down for him dramatically this year, and what a leader you've seen out of him. It's interesting, though, and we'll talk about the meltdown in a few minutes, but I call it a meltdown. They still won by two touchdowns, but that's a little concerning because it's happened a couple times already this year. But I want to talk about, briefly, a column that Matt Stevens from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan wrote earlier this week, and he talked about how the rivalry, the border war rivalry, has become stale. And parts of me agree with that. I think that, when you look at it from the on-field standpoint, the teams, the players, the coaches, it's not stale to them. It's always going to be a heated rivalry. It's always going to be a heated battle on the field because both coaching staffs, both programs invest so much in embracing the heritage and the tradition of this rivalry, dating back to the Bronze Boot, running the game ball across the border. There's just a lot of passion and a lot of, and the rivalry dates back so long that it's just never going to fade within the athletic departments and on the field. But I think from a fan standpoint, it does lack a little bit of the luster that we've seen in previous years. I've been to many, many border wars, both in Laramie and in Fort Collins, And I've seen much smaller crowds be much have much more angst towards each other. Whereas opposed to Saturday, we saw a sellout crowd of 32,000 plus. And, you know, everyone kind of went about their way. I didn't witness any. And I sit right next to the visitor section. And I didn't see a lot of hostility going back and forth. And it's not, you can always say that in the past. And I think that has a lot to do with the state of where each program has been over the last decade or so. You know, both have had a couple spikes here and there, but, you know, there's just not that deep rooted, you know, hate and competitive spirit, because both teams have been down. The games have not meant a whole lot as in terms of, you know, winning a conference championship head to head with each other. So I think from that standpoint, CU probably still ranks higher, which is a shame because CU is a non-conference game. It doesn't necessarily mean as much, but, you know, fans look at that game as a target to aim at because CU is in a more prestigious conference, so to speak, and they're always, you know, they've got that arrogance that CSU fans perceive, and, you know, it's always going to have that angst, but the border war should be so much more because there's much more history, there's much more pageantry around it, and they're conference foes, so there's just that much more meaning. It would be nice to see over the coming years that program under Coach Bull get better as CSU continues to get better and just see that rivalry blossom. Going back to the game and the way it ended, you know, CSU got up 31-3 for the second time this year. They went up 31-3 against Nevada, and in both of those games, the Nevada game 3 weeks ago and this game on Saturday night with Wyoming, kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit. You know, obviously when you're up and you got a big lead and it's later in the game, you're going to start bringing in the second and third stringers, and I think that you know, you can kind of look past the fact that CSU had kind of let up and let Wyoming, not necessarily back in the game, but, you know, certainly as a backdoor cover for those of you that gamble. And it's for a program that's trying to make its mark and be noticed around the country with the bowl committee that and trying to find their way into one of these New Year's bowls. You know, style points, I believe, matter. And I think that, you know, winning by four touchdowns looks a lot better than two touchdowns for people that didn't watch the game. So, and it's not just that. It's the way that CSU let Nevada nearly come back and tie the game a few weeks ago, and the way that this one happened. You got and Coach McElwain admitted after the game, he goes, "Look, I went in the locker room and you'd be hard pressed to tell that we won the game because the players are so down. They knew that they kind of blew the end of the game, and they know that they have to finish better." So that's a point that we're going to have to keep an eye on. You know, that earlier in the year, the Rams got off to slow starts and then played their best football later in the game and put together a solid fourth quarter to make a couple great comebacks earlier this year. And now in two of the last three games, they've kind of blown it in the fourth quarter. So against San Jose State coming up, that is tomorrow night, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Mountain on CBS Sports Network. It's a key game, and this game has me a little bit concerned. When you look at some of the stats, CSU really has a lot more playmakers on offense. I mean, you look at the fact that Garrett Grayson has twice as many passing yards as San Jose quarterback Joe Gray, three times as many touchdowns, rushing yards. They double up San Jose State. Receiving yards, they basically triple San Jose State's passing yards. But here's where San Jose State, I think, has a chance to stay in the game and have its mind set on an upset. They have one of the best passing defenses in the country. In fact, their pass efficiency defense is ranked number one, and their pass defense is number one. So CSU, as explosive as they have been, and as good as Garrett Grayson has been, they're going to be hard-pressed to find openings. We'll see how the leading receiver in the country fares against this San Jose State defense. I think it's going to come down to CSU being able to run the ball, keeping possession of drives, and really starting to control and dictate that game. San Jose State has done a good job of creating turnovers. They've created 8 turnovers this year. And if CSU is unable to pass the ball, I think that we're going to find this game to be a close game down the stretch. It could come down to a late field goal, could come down to a key turnover. And that's just, you know, with so much on the line, Colorado State with a chance to, if they run the table, Boise State possibly slips up, you have a chance to go to the conference championship game. This is a huge opportunity that you do not want to let down. I think that CSU's gotten a lot of great attention media-wise, locally, even nationally. You just got to keep an eye on it. And I think that Coach McElwain keeps this team grounded. I think the players say and do all the right things, but you just never know. This could be one of those letdown games, letdown opportunity where you've just come off a big win against your rival. Now you got to go to the West Coast and play a game in front of probably, you know, earlier this year, the previous games they've had at home, they've had 14,000 people. So it's tough to get up in that environment. It's kind of a rundown stadium. So it's going to test their mettle for sure. I think San Jose State, though, they've had CSU's number in the previous. They've won 3 in a row against CSU. And with so much on the line for them as well, they're going to come to play. They have a 3-4 record, which is a little bit deceiving. They have had to go to Navy. They lost at Navy last week, going all the way across the country. I mean, that's a coast-to-coast trip. They lost a tough game at Navy. They've had to go on the road to Minnesota, and they've had to go on the road to Auburn. So it'd be hard-pressed to win those games for anybody. They went 0-3. They've only had 3 home games, so this is a big game for them, and they'll come ready to play. If you CSU is now ranked 26th and 27th, 26th in the AP, 27th in the coaches poll. They have a great opportunity to gain more visibility if they can win this week. A team or two loses in front of them. One team to keep an eye on is East Carolina. We've talked about this in previous weeks. Is if you can get East Carolina, Marshall, Boise State to lose, CSU's got an opportunity to get in one of those big New Year's Day bowls. East Carolina is at Temple this week. That could be a shot and an upset. Marshall is off, and so is Boise. Boise's got they don't have a lot of hiccups on their schedule. So that's going to be a tall order for CSU to get in one of those bowl games. We'll keep an eye on that. Basketball, by the way, is starting to get into full swing. Their first exhibition is just 10 days away against Fort Lewis at home, and then the first regular season game is just 2 weeks away. We will talk more hoops in the coming weeks, and after the break here, we will talk with CSU Interim Athletic Director John Morris. Stick with us. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.